Let's go to our scripture reading here today, and we are going to go to the small little epistle of 1 Timothy here in the New Testament. 1 Timothy, and I'm going to go to chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 20. Three little verses, and if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Good. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. 1 Timothy. If you say, I don't know where 1 Timothy is at, it's right before 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. God's word says this. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, and so suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Let's pray. Father, just three short little verses in this just little six-chapter book, but Father, it's packed full of truths. And Father, I want to unpack some of those truths here this morning. So Father, I pray that what we learn here this morning, Father, that your Spirit will illuminate us, will shed light on the truths that we all need to learn here today about your word. We thank you for this. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. I've titled today's message, Fight the Good Fight. This past week in our reading, in our coming week in our daily reading, we're going to be reading the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. These three books are all clustered together, right there together in our Bibles, in the pages of Scripture, because these three books are what we refer to as the pastoral letters. They all have something in common, and that is this. They tell us how church must be done, not how it should be done, not how it could be done, and not how it may be done. It's how church must be done. Now, I have this up here. Paul wrote the books of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy to his true son in the faith. That's how the book of 1 Timothy starts out. And who is Timothy? Timothy is Paul's protege, and he's leading the church in Ephesus. So that's where Timothy is going to be. And the Apostle Paul writes the book of Titus to a man named Titus, who he refers to as my true son in the common faith. And Titus is leading a church on the island of Crete. So just give you a little background. Where are these two guys at? Where is Timothy? Where is Titus? They are leading churches, one in Ephesus and one on the island of Crete. He wants to instruct these two gentlemen on how to properly lead church and all the other things that go along with that. Not only is he instructing them, he's also instructing us. Even though these books have been written about 2,000 years ago, I need to say this, nothing has changed in 2,000 years. But unfortunately, today's liberal American society wants us to think that anyone and everyone can pastor a church regardless of their qualifications, regardless of their gender, regardless of their lifestyle. And folks, that's just not so. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. What is written on the pages of Scripture was good enough then, it's good enough today. And those who are to lead the church and their qualifications and what they are to do in these leadership roles within the church are clearly given in these three small epistles. And you do not need to be a gifted theologian to figure these things out. But somehow we, the church people, have managed to distort what the Bible clearly teaches on leadership in the church. And I think it's very, very sad. Because when the church fails, society will start to fail and will deteriorate. And I am convinced that is exactly what we see in America today. Church is failing, and as a result, society is failing. Today, I want to focus on one area of doctrine that is addressed in today's reading, and that is actually the title of the message here. And the title is Fight the Good Fight, but unfortunately, when you have different Bible translations, you have different translators saying the same thing, just in different ways. Just to give you an idea, the NIV translation will say this. It says this, fight the battle well in 1 Timothy 1:19. The King James Version says this, the mightest war, a good warfare. Boy, that sounds really King James. That sounds 17th century. The New King James and the English Standard Version say this, may wage the good warfare. The Contemporary English Version, which is a paraphrase version Bible, says fight like a good soldier. But I like the New American Standard and the New English Translation. Fight the good fight. It makes sense. Fight the good fight. So your Bible might say something a little bit different, but fight the good fight. So the question becomes here this morning, we're going to answer this here this morning. Do churches today really want to fight the good fight? So what is the fight that we need to be fighting? And what does it mean to fight? And again, I want to look at the answers to these questions strictly from a church leadership position. What is the fight that must take place right here from the pulpit and when we gather together on a Sunday morning or whatever day we may gather in this meeting place, in the place that we call a church sanctuary? What is that fight? Well, let's look at the word fight. And the definitions are given in your bulletin in, on the inside, top right-hand corner. The word fight can be both a verb and it can be a noun. And we actually see that in our title of our message here this morning. To fight, verb, the good fight, noun. Fight is a verb to put forth a determined effort. And as a noun, a struggle for a goal or an objective. So let's put those two together. So as a church leader, I need to put forth a determined effort towards a goal or some objective. So what is that biblical goal or objective that every pastor and every church leader needs to be striving for? Well, let's go to, we have, I think, about six fill in the blanks in our bulletin here this morning. Let's go to the first one. And it says this, to fight the good fight, we must stand for sound doctrine and the truths that are revealed in the Word of God. We go to Titus chapter 2, verse 1, and we're going to find six different examples of the word doctrine in the NIV translation. We're going to look at all six of those. And all six of them are going to appear in either 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, or Titus. And we see the answer to this in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. He tells Titus, he says this, you, however, must teach what is appropriate for sound doctrine. Why? Why does sound doctrine need to be taught? Well, I've been saying this since day one that I've got here. Because the truth matters. It's very simple. The truth matters. Did you know that at least 17 out of the 27 books in the New Testament speak in some way, shape, or form about false teachers and false doctrine? Well, false teachers do not preach sound doctrine. And I do not want the God that I serve to categorize me as a false teacher. And as I have said before, you know how you can spot a false teacher? It's very easy. A false teacher will never preach about false teachers. It's very simple. Story time with Pastor Mike. The story time goes like this. When I worked at McClung's, there was about 50 people that worked for McClung Printing. And every now and again, I would have to go over to our main facility over on North Commerce Avenue. And when I did, I knew everybody over there. And there was one lady that worked there. And she goes to a mainline denomination church. Now, she says she's a Christian, and by her actions and her words, I would say that she is a Christian. But she told me this one day, and this was shortly after I started working there. And I still remember her telling me this, and I couldn't believe that she said this. We were talking about Sunday school classes, and I told her that I teach a Sunday school at my class. And somehow we got on this topic of Sunday school, and she said, well, you know, just this past Sunday, my teacher in my Sunday school class told me this about truth. The Sunday school teacher said that the good thing about truth is truth can be whatever you want it to be. Oh. This attitude and belief of liberalism is a major problem in churches today, and it's not being corrected whatsoever. But when you have Sunday school teachers in Christian churches telling their students that truth can be whatever you want it to be, or you have pastors or preachers just telling cute stories and nothing more on Sunday mornings instead of expounding on the Word of God, folks, when that starts happening, the church is no longer fighting the good fight. The word doctrine, as I said earlier, comes up 6 times in the New Testament in the NIV translation. And each time it is used in either 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, or in Titus. And we've already covered the first one from Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Let's cover the other 5. They are our fill in the blanks in our bulletin, and let's look at each one of those and see what the Word of God says about doctrine or sound doctrine. Number 2, our fill in the blank number 2, sound doctrine is necessary for salvation. Our second text comes from 1 Timothy 4:16, which says this: watch your life and doctrine closely. Why? Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Paul is instructing Timothy to watch his doctrine closely and to persevere in that doctrine. Why? Because sound doctrine, explaining the true gospel, is the only thing that saves. Drifting away or deviating from sound doctrine only opens up the door to apostasy and leading others down a dark path of certain destruction. False doctrine, when it comes to salvation, will never save anybody. And Paul wants Timothy to fight the good fight in sound doctrine. So that is number 2. Let's go to our next one. Number 3, sound doctrine encourages the believer and refutes the opposers. We get that from Titus chapter 1, verse 9. And that verse says this: he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Sound doctrine is encouraging because it is the Word of God. And when people go through difficult times, which we all have at some time or other, we are encouraged by the words that we find within the pages of this book. So it can be encouraging. But Paul gives a second direction on this. He says this: to refute those who oppose it. And here is where we all need boldness, and certainly pastors need boldness. We must know God's truth from error. False teaching and who is teaching it, and in the case of our scripture reading here this morning, Hymenaeus and Alexander, must be brought to light. Their false teaching must be brought to light. The people who are doing it must be brought to light so that we can discern false teaching and false doctrine from sound doctrine. I assure you this: When we refute others with who are preaching and teaching false doctrine, that is one way to not make friends, okay? That's not going to happen when we refute others who are teaching false doctrine. And I guarantee there are some churches who will never invite me as a revival speaker, although I'd be more than happy to step into their pulpits and preach the truth. But Paul wants us to fight the good fight in sound doctrine because it encourages the believer and it refutes those preaching against it. We're going through these rather quickly. Number four, the law is sound doctrine, and the law was given to convict. It was given to convict. And we get that from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And I had to make the print kind of small to get this all on the screen up here. And it says this: we also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. So he's comparing sound doctrine to the law. Here's something we already know. No one can keep the law. None of it. We'll all fail short somewhere. I will, you will. And the law will never save us. The law is there to convict us that we fall short of it, because it convicts us that we cannot keep it. The law was given, says Galatians 3:24, to point us to Christ, to point us to a Savior who can save us from the law. The law is sound doctrine. Therefore, the law is good, as Paul says. And Paul wants Timothy to fight the good fight in sound doctrine by having the people keep the law. So we've gone through four of the six, getting through these rather quickly. Number five, false doctrine must not be taught in the church. How simple can this be? False doctrine cannot be taught in the church. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. So now we've had four different verses talking about sound doctrine, and now Paul switches gears here and talks about false doctrine. It doesn't take long for something that started off real good to turn sour rather quickly. Did you know that the church at this time, the church in Ephesus, is less than 20 years old when Paul writes this letter? And already false doctrine is infiltrating this church and in the doors of the church. And when that happens, God's work cannot be advanced. And this text also tells us that controversial speculations are promoted. And when controversial speculations are promoted, that can lead to doubt. And doubt can lead to division. And division can lead to destruction. So Paul admonishes and says, we can't preach false doctrines. And may I add at this point that not teaching the full counsel of God can be just as dangerous and just as destructive as preaching false doctrine. And I know I've said this a zillion times. Here comes a zillion and one. Joel Osteen will never preach on sin. Shame on him. On the other hand, you get some preachers who preach constantly, all the time, God is love, God is love, God is love, God is love. I will agree, we serve a God of love, amen? We do, God is love. But what happens when you hear time and time and time again, God is love. God is love. God is love. God is love. It makes you think that everything that I'm doing, he approves of, and he does not. So, Paul wants Timothy to fight the good fight in sound doctrine and not preach false doctrine and to admonish those who are. And then our sixth and final one, the time has now come when too many church people prefer false doctrine over truth. Where do I get that from? I get that from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. Wow. Wow. And this was written 2,000 years ago. The church, and certainly the church here in America today, has now become more like the world than it has become like the Word. The church no longer wants to offend anybody. People no longer want the Word of God to change them. People now want to change the Word of God to suit them. Truth has now become relative, like the Sunday school teacher. Truth can be whatever you want truth to be. Sound doctrine is now being replaced. Let's replace sound doctrine with whatever I need to say to keep people coming back, because we certainly need your money. Let's replace the hymns with musical entertainment, as many churches have done. Let's allow the person with the most charisma lead the church. And let's gather together on Sunday mornings, and let's just throw the name God out there a few times, and let's read a scripture verse or two to make it look like we are doing church. Now, you know I'm being sarcastic by saying those things. But that is what's happening in America today. The church is failing. In the book of 2 Timothy, I don't know if you knew this or not, but the book of 2 Timothy was the very last letter that the Apostle Paul ever wrote that's included in the Bible. And he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He says this, a very famous line, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." Well, Beach Grove, I'm going to tell you something you already know. I'm in this to fight the good fight. It's the only thing I know how to do. Because it's a fight worth fighting. Amen? It's a fight worth fighting. And I will finish the race. Because it's a race worth running. Amen? And I will keep the faith, because it is a faith with eternal rewards that will endure to the end. And when I speak for myself, I speak for all of us. We will fight the good fight. Amen? And we will finish the race. Amen? And we will keep the faith, because this faith has eternal rewards and they will endure to the end. The truth isn't always easy, but it does matter, and it will set you free. Amen. Let's pray.